Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, I am Glenn McGee from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 17th, 2011, episode 56, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
If only I could have a puppet, I'd call myself so very lucky, just to have some company.
Something like this, it goes, ooh, snuggle puppy of mine. Everything about you is especially fine. I love what you are, I love what you do. Fuzzy little snuggle puppy, I love you. I say, ooh, snuggle puppy of mine.
I am just a puppy and I'm scared to death. I am just a puppy and you like my breath. What I really need is you to love me, 'cause I'm just a puppy.
It's puppy day!
It certainly is. Why can people not, you just can't write a song about a puppy that isn't kind of cheesy. You just can't do it. I think it's just the word puppy.
Well, when but do you yes, pick them is. Up? What's the time?
All right, they arrive in from Dallas. They fly into Phoenix at 6:30 p.m., but apparently they have to go to some other place, so they're thinking around 7 o'clock the puppies will be available for pickup, so it's going to be just a night with the puppies here at Flyover Farms. And I'm going to tell you something. My husband, he is a sleeper, okay, and the military has the day off today since it's Martin Luther King holiday, so happy MLK Day, everybody. But my husband is a sleeper, and he will sleep until noon if he could. He's awake, Glenn. He's awake right now. It's 7 o'clock in the morning our time, and he is awake. He's been up since like 6:30, and I'm like, "You're excited about the puppies. That's why you can't sleep." He's like, "I'm not. I just couldn't sleep anymore. I'm just, you know, we slept a lot this weekend." I'm like, "You're excited about the puppies."
Now, did you sleep last night?
No. Of course not. It's like I said last time, I'm like Angelina Jolie waiting for my baby to come from across the, you know, continent. That's how I feel. So, I didn't sleep two nights ago.
We should remind everybody, if the new people tuning in, that you can go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning to search for that. And you'll see pictures of the new puppies we're talking about that Jamie's getting today, flying in all the way from North Carolina to Arizona. They're going to be tired little campers.
Yeah, well, or they'll be very well rested, one or the other. They might be wild when we get them here. But I know, it's like, that's got to be the worst day ever for these puppies. But you know what? I know it's going to be the worst day, but the rest of their lives is going to be awesome. Because they're going to live on a farm and they're going to be spoiled to pieces. And so I feel bad that they're flying, but I don't feel bad that they're going to have pretty much awesome lives, if I may say so. You can ask my other dogs. They're very happy.
Yeah, I there's no doubt in our mind that they'll be spoiled rotten pretty much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they'll be well-trained and well-taken care of. And, you know, like I was telling you guys before, I cannot imagine buying a puppy. I mean, purchasing a dog is, like, the weirdest idea to me ever, because there's so many that need homes. But this was my husband's idea, and, you know, we have – we have four rescue horses, and both our other dogs are rescues. So, you know, I think we're doing our part. He can have a puppy. He can buy a puppy or two.
Well, I'm very excited for you. It's always fun. It's like getting it's just like getting a new horse, you know, getting a puppy the same way. For a couple of days, you know, it's that way. It's going to be so much fun, and we can't wait to see pictures. You better take pictures so we can post them.
Oh, don't you worry. I photograph everything. I have an iPhone. I take pictures of everything. But I actually bought a nice big fancy camera for these puppies so we can document them along the way, their growth and everything. So we will definitely have plenty of photos of the puppies probably just arriving off the airplane. I mean, that's going to be picture number one.
Well, great. Well, we're looking forward to hearing all about them. We'll probably be hearing them on the show tomorrow morning, I'm sure, all the little yelping and things.
Yeah, I would imagine. Sorry about that, guys, but it's going to be a little rough around here for a couple weeks, I think, or months, or years.
Well, you know, what I was so impressed with is that you remembered the show this morning. You weren't so excited you forgot to join us.
I've been up for like 2.5 hours, laying, staring at the ceiling, so thinking about puppy names. So, no, I definitely did not forget the show. I had plenty of time to wake up and listen to it. I'm on, like, cup of coffee number 4, if you can't tell by the way I'm talking. so, yeah, I'm good. I remembered.
So, now, speaking of puppy names, did you decide yet, or are we still going to meet him first?
We've got to meet him first. You know, I think Chad's, I don't know. I mean, we both kind of have our favorite names picked out, but I think we need to meet them first to get to know them, see what their personality is, and see if that name fits them. I mean, there is nothing I want to do more than name my puppy Zenyatta. I want to name her Zenyatta. We call her Zenny. We'll call her Z, whatever. But we need to get to know her first and see if that's even suitable. If she's some goofy,
okay,
you know, non-athletic dog, then she doesn't get the name.
Oh, that's true. She could be just a fat, lazy one.
Yeah.
In which case, you could call her Blaine. Ooh.
Oh, horse of the year, smack talk, Glenn. That's awesome.
Hey, we have a new affiliate I want to welcome. Boy, we've been getting affiliates on like crazy here. We appreciate it. Rick Conley of DraftHorsePhotos.com added us to his website. That's DraftHorsePhotos.com. And why? Because you know me and draft horses. I love draft horses. And he's a photographer, and he just has some fantastic shots of draft horses working and showing and just in all forms of draft horses. And I just loved looking through his website. So if you have a little time today and want to just goof off a little bit, take a look at drafthorsephotos.com. And if you want to become an affiliate of the Horses in the Morning show, you can add our logo to your page so people can listen right from your website. It's very easy to do. Just drop me an email at glenn2ns@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll send you out the instructions. It is very simple to do. It's just a little piece of code. But the cool thing is then people can listen to the show right off of your website every day. Hey, something else, too, I looked at this morning, Jamie, that I didn't get a chance to talk to you about is I took a look at what countries were the top listeners to Horses in the Morning. And, you know,
uh-huh.
With our other shows, it's always the United States and Canada and then the United Kingdom third. So that's the order of the number of listeners. Well, with this show, it's different, which I thought was very, very interesting. It's the United States first, Australia second. And by the way, we still want to send out shout-outs and our prayers to everybody in Australia. They're still going through that flooding and in a terrible, terrible time there. You know, horses being stranded and needing rescued and towns and lots of lives lost, just a whole mess there in Australia. So we send out our best there. They're our second largest listener base. And then it's followed
by
Canada, New Zealand, and the UK. So it's a little bit different for Horses in the Morning.
Well, that's great. I appreciate all the Aussie listeners out there. That's fantastic. But feel free to call in. You can Skype in, you know, for crying out loud, 347-637-3238. A man or woman, I don't care who you are, the Aussie accent is the sexiest accent on the planet by far. So
that is true.
I
totally agree. Well, let's get to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on the show today, and then we can continue chatting.
On today's show, we will be flexing our equestrianism with Elizabeth Hansen, founder of Equestrian Pilates. I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds yoga-ish, so stay tuned and find out. Next up, we will be talking to Dick Curley. He will be telling us about the Caspian horse, and we're going to learn why this 11-hand wonder is called a Caspian horse and not a Caspian pony. And last but not least, the Horses in the Morning show forecast is for scattered good-natured ridicule and a front of devilish asides moving in later on the show.
Okay, this is bad. The producer is being more creative than we are.
Dude, she's too smart for me. I don't even understand half of that because her vocabulary is so incredible.
I know. She's embarrassing both of us now. We're going to have to get rid of that producer, let me tell you. Hey, tomorrow's a very special show for us. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it's all about the Eclipse Awards, which happen tonight, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Jennifer and I will be watching. You'll be picking up puppies because you have your priorities. So we'll be watching. And we're going to do something special tomorrow. We have two jockeys joining us tomorrow. We have Frankie Lovato is going to be joining us, and then HRTV is providing us a jockey to talk about the Eclipse Awards, not just Horse of the Year, although that's the one we really care about. And also, we want to take your calls. We have several giveaways to do tomorrow, one of which I think you got in the mail, didn't you?
I'm so excited. I love, love, love them. This is the coolest thing, and I highly recommend that everybody, if you don't win them tomorrow, you at least go buy some, because I got from Rerun, sent me some of the Monets in the note card form. So they're note cards, and it's all the girls, like Rags to Riches and Zenyatta. They all designed, you know, did the paintings, and they shrunk them down and put them on the front of note cards. And so, here's the problem, Glenn, is that I really don't know who's special enough in my life to receive a Monet note card. That's the problem. You got to be somebody really special to get a Monet note card from me, because I don't want to give them up.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to be giving a pack of Monet note cards away tomorrow, compliments of Rerun, to a lucky caller. Plus, we have other giveaways tomorrow. We really do want to hear from you about what you thought, whether Zenyatta won or lost. We want to hear from you. So tomorrow will be all about the Eclipse Awards and Zenyatta and maybe that other horse. What's his name again? Blaine? Well, we might be blaming Blaine tomorrow. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I see a lot of puns in the show tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be it could get ugly, but I'm going to stick with the positive. And I would like to let you know that I am still stalking. I mean, trying to contact Charles from, Lane's End Farm. I've had to email Lane's End and their people and his people, and then their people are supposed to get back to my people. And, you know, it's kind of a big deal now with the whole Horse of the Year award. And, you know, as we know, Zenyatta was just – I love this about Zenyatta, because she has the blog and she has a running commentary on kind of what is going on in the world right now. And she was on the front page of the New York Times. Okay. And
I know.
And I love,
isn't that amazing?
Reading – It's phenomenal, but I got to read you this little clip from her blog, and then we'll move on. It says, this is Zenyatta talking. Okay, she types this. I am still basking in the glow of yesterday's article in the New York Times. I read Joe Drape's wonderful piece and loved the slideshow of the photos, but I didn't know that it was going to be the front page of the paper. Suddenly all the calls and emails started to flow into the office. Just think, the front page of the New York Times. This is a wow moment. This is what I think is so funny is, quote, the New York Jets are playing in the playoff this weekend, and I'm on the front page of the whole paper. That's so true. If she does not win Horse of the Year, my gosh, I'm going to be so mad. Okay, carry on. It's a rant.
Well, I'll just follow up. We have a caller on the line I want to take next, but I just wanted to follow up by also saying, remember we had the lady from Rerun on last week talking about the Monets that were now up. They have a bunch of Monets of a bunch of different racehorses that are now on sale on eBay and up for auction. And they had like Cigar and India Blast. And these were all the previous Eclipse Award winners. And they had a whole bunch of them, like 12 of them up there. Well, I just wanted to say that Cigar is number two right now. By the way, you still have 13 hours to vote or to bid on any of these. He is number two at $705. AP Indy is at $591. And then $540 is Tiz Now. But number one on the list currently in the dollar amount for bidding is Inyata at $3,407.57. So does that
fantastic.
Tell you something right there?
I'm sorry, AP Indian cigar is at $700. That is very respectable. And then you look at Zenyatta at $3,400, you know, and all of this does go to reruns, charities. All these horses are doing these paintings for, you know, other race horses that didn't quite make it to their you know, level, I guess. And so the Eclipse Award, you know, these are all Eclipse Award winners. It all goes to a good cause. So get on there and bid. You know, maybe you can't afford the Zenyatta, but we can hope.
Hey, we have a caller on here, Jamie, I'd like to take. It is Rick Conley, who is our new affiliate we just mentioned from DraftHorseSodas.com. Hi, Rick. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
How are things Phoenix today? Because it's cold as heck up here in Indiana.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Rick. It's pretty cold here as well. It was a low of 47. We're freezing to death. So, just horrible. Just horrible weather.
Hey, Rick, thank you for calling in. I'll tell you what, I love your photos. How did you get started taking photos? And you really do specialize in draft horses. How did you get started taking photos of drafts?
You know, it's funny, Glenn, that's probably the most common question people ask me when they find out that I do a lot of draft horse photos. But I was always interested in photography, and back in the mid-'80s, I read a book about draft horses. I picked up the draft horse primer and found there were some events around this part of the country and started going to them, and just for my own enjoyment, taking pictures. But what I found was is people who are involved in horses, as you guys know, never had the time themselves to take many pictures. So I had a lot of people asking for copies of them, and one thing kind of led to another. So here I am 20-something years later and still doing it.
Well, that's terrific. And you do have some great pictures. And the neat thing I like about what you do is, you know, photographers tend to specialize in certain types of pictures. They do all show pictures. They do all country pictures. You have a little bit of everything here, from working horses, you know, plowing the fields to the top show rings. It's just a little bit of everything.
Well, I'll be honest with you, it's getting harder and harder to find places to find real draft horses because a lot of folks are finding that just the cost of feeding them. I know Saturday evening I was at a dinner in down near you in Cynthiana, Kentucky, and the primary discussion was around how much hay everybody's had to feed so far this year. And as you know, draft horses eat a lot of the hay.
Yes, so they do. I think we used to field, I think Jennifer could confirm this, but the last Percheron we had was about 18-2 hams. He was a big boy. And we used to feed him about a bale a day. So, you know, he ate a lot of hay.
Yeah, that seems to be the problem. And, of course, around here in our area, as you know, this Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana area, we had the terrible drought through the whole last part of the summer, so hay was a little scarce. Although everybody had a good spring, things got a little slow toward the end of the year. So everybody's worried now, are they going to make it through the winter?
Yeah, we didn't get really around here, we didn't get any second cuttings at all to speak of.
Right.
What's your favorite thing what's your favorite thing to photograph? Is it shows or is it, you know, you photographed a lot of the weekend rides, and I noticed you did the July 4th rides and things like that. What are your favorite things to photograph?
My personal favorite is I love the field days. I love the days when we're out there and people are plowing. And, you know, as a photographer, it gives me an opportunity, number one, to just get set up and take some, I don't want to call them stage shots, but at least get some good photos. A lot of the wagon rides, it's hard to get good photos because everybody's obviously on the move and things are moving around and, you know, people are changing positions. And But I love the field days. That's my favorite.
Well, you do a good job with it. I'm very impressed. The shots that I always liked, and you have some of them on here, is the shots from behind the horses. when you're looking at them in a hitch, either two or three wide from behind. It's just the coolest shot because you see the, especially when they're ground driving them, because you see how tall these horses, how big these horses really are.
Right, right. Yeah, that's, I always try to get that angle, especially if I can get somebody with maybe a youngster or something where it really, it's pretty dramatic, the difference in size between a youngster that's driving or walking behind a plow and the draft horse is pulling him in front.
Well, you know what? I want to let you know, first of all, thank you so much, Rick, for putting us on your homepage. If you guys go to his website, drafthorsephotos.com, smack right in the middle of the page is our listener. It's a way to listen to our show. You just click the button right there, and you can listen. And it's first and foremost right in the center of the page. And we sure do appreciate you putting us on there, Rick. And we really appreciate you listening in. You definitely have designed Glenn's favorite website of all time. Because if the man's not driving a draft horse or sitting on a draft horse, he likes to be looking at draft horses. So you provided that for him, and we sure do appreciate it. And definitely call in anytime. And one more question for you, Rick, before we let you go. Who is your pick for Horse of the Year?
Oh, but there's only one horse, Zenyatta, obviously.
Yay! We like him even more.
Okay, he can stay. We can keep him. Rick,
thanks,
you have a fantastic week. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, and I love the show, so keep it going.
All right, thanks, Rick.
Well, I love
Rick Conley of drafthorsephotos.com. Thanks for that. Was nice of him to call in. I know he listens to the shows because he's written to us once or twice before, and he listens to the morning show, and that's why he wanted to add it to his site, is because he's an avid listener. So that's kind of neat.
Well, I think it's fantastic.
Did you get to go skiing over the weekend?
You know what? I did. You know, this is one reason, excuse me, I love Arizona so much, is that, you know, Friday night we drove, it was 70 degrees when we left here, and then you drive, we call it driving up the hill, up to 7,000 feet elevation, and you're in Flagstaff, Arizona, and there was a foot and a half of snow on the ground. And it's just crazy that it's all in the same state. So Saturday morning we went skiing pretty much all day. And I would like to let you know that if anybody knows anything about skiing, I skied my first black diamond, which is like the ones that are straight down. So I'm getting better at skiing, and I skied my first black diamond. It only took me about half an hour to get down it, but I did it, and I didn't get injured at all.
And you didn't break anything?
I didn't break anything, but in true me form, you know, skied the whole entire day. And I took a picture, by the way, of skiing blackjack. So you can post the picture online, Glenn, because there's me standing in front of the sign. I made Chad take a picture of me going down my first black diamond. you know, in true form, I get all the way down. I ski all day long. And I only had one fall where I did injure my wrist. And where was that? It was at the very bottom of the hill when I was taking off my skis. I mean, we're done. I've skied the entire day, Glenn. I take off one ski, put my foot down, and slip and bust it. And, of course, what is the first thing you do? You stick your arm out to, you know, to stop your fall. Dumb idea. So I just have a minor injury from taking off my skis. Good time. I'm an idiot.
You know, that's a typical horse girl. Ride a 100-mile endurance ride and hurt yourself getting off the horse.
Yeah.
That's a typical horse girl. That's just so typical. It's funny. I'm actually working on posting a picture of you at the ski resort right now. And there's proof that you actually do have to wear winter clothes sometimes in Arizona.
Yes, you do. It was great. And then, you know, we ski all day to Saturday. We go to bed. I mean, gosh, I went to bed so early Saturday night because it's just exhausting. Wake up Sunday, we drive home, and Chad and I go on a four-hour trail ride in the desert, and it's 70-something degrees. How I'm not sick as a dog, I don't know. But those kind of temperature changes in one state are awesome. So 2 hours down the hill, and we went on a four-and-a-half-hour trail ride through the desert, and I also sent you some pictures of that because we just had an absolute blast. My husband's horse, I had to give him some Butte last night because he was like 20-something, and that was a long ride for him. But he was perky. He had his head up. He was jigging half the time going down the trail. So it was very exciting. That's the blessing of having 10,000 acres of estate land in front of my house, in my front yard. So we had an absolute awesome weekend, and we celebrated with our dogs last night, you know, the last night that they would be in the house alone.
So, before they go into trauma from invaders.
Absolutely. It's just been an all-around awesome weekend, so I hope you guys had fun. I heard, Jennifer, you got to go horseback riding this weekend. That's awesome.
Yeah, Jennifer's there.
She's busy.
I don't know. Hey, Jennifer, you still there? I think she's busy, actually. But, got to go for a ride this weekend. You know, we haven't been able to do a lot of outside riding here just because of the weather and the amount of snow we've had on the ground. But the snow started to melt a little bit this weekend, and we're actually supposed to get above freezing today, which we're very excited about. It's going to get up to 40 degrees. But then and up to 40 degrees again tomorrow, and then back to cold again. So by Friday, the high is supposed to be 20. But we have two days of rain coming, which means mud central. You know, that's what happens after you warm up a little bit this time of year, as you get into the Kentucky mud season, which will be pretty much everything from March on will be Kentucky mud season. Hey, I also wanted to mention before we get into our guests here and get real busy that we have coming up the end of next week, you're flying out to Philadelphia to join us. We're going to the American Equestrian Trade Association show, which is a wholesale show, so where the retailers, all the stores come in and do their buying for the spring and summer. And we're going to be there all the days. You're flying in on Friday. So we'll have a recorded show for everybody next Friday that we have another equestrian singer-artist that we're going to have on, do a special episode for that. And we have that coming up next Friday. And then we're going to do a live show from the ADA International Convention. We're going to do that the following Monday, which is the 31st, I believe. Yep, the 31st. We're going to be live from Philadelphia, and Jamie and I are going to do our first show ever together, which is going to be a switch.
Oh, that is crazy. I didn't even think about that. We're doing our first show face-to-face. It'll probably be the worst show we've ever done, ever.
We'll have lots of guests that morning, so it'll be fun trying to get live guests in and out of the seat while Jennifer's going to have to be running around getting the guests all lined up. And we're going to bring all the excitement of the ADA trade show. This is a show that anybody that's a horse shopper that loves shopping in tack shops, this will be your first experience at the trade show, right?
It's going to be ugly, I'm afraid, because you can't put me in an entire trade fair of people selling horse stuff and not expect damage to be done to the credit card. And, you know, you're going to be there too, so I might have to take your credit card and put things on just the horses in the morning. You know, there'll be write-offs, Glenn, write-offs.
Research, that's right. Well, Jennifer does enough research for everybody at that show, believe me. So we get to go there. You're gonna die. It's like, you know, it's this huge convention hall just filled with everything that you can buy in the English and a lot of Western horse world. It's there for your shopping pleasure. And now they have a lot of stands because it's a wholesale show, don't sell stuff, but they do have cash and carry at many of the stands, so you can take the stuff home at a pretty good discount on Monday. But unfortunately, you're flying and can't fit anything, so you won't be able to buy anything.
I will bring an extra bag.
I talked to your husband about that already.
I will bring an extra suitcase, my friend. It will be done.
So that's all coming up, some of the excitement we have.
Well, that'll be awesome. And I'm definitely looking forward to it, to seeing you guys again. That is part of the problem with having, you know, My show is in Phoenix. You're in Kentucky, but it'll be awesome. I can't wait. Just want to let you know the sponsor this half hour, Glenn, or the entire show today, actually, is Omega Alpha. And we all care about what we feed our horses more probably than what we feed ourselves. That is so true. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. And that's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using only the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang is a well-respected in the industry and is a pioneer in putting the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for you and your horse. They have a wide range of products to help you and your horse, so find them all at OmegaAlpha.ca. That's OmegaAlpha.ca. And I believe, Glenn, we have our first guest on the line. And you know, I'm a huge fan of yoga. I have, in previous times in my life, had gym memberships where I go and work out sometimes. It depends on where I am in my life. But I have been to gyms before, and I have worked out, and I have seen signs that say Pilates class. And I don't exactly know what a Pilates class is because I have never done a Pilates class. But we have Elizabeth Hansen on the line, and, you know, she's a pioneer of equestrian Pilates. But before we get into that, good morning, Elizabeth. What is Pilates in general?
Hey, good morning to you guys, too. In general, Pilates is a core strengthening program that works on your flexibility and your balance and your strength. And 9 times out of 10, if you're doing it in the gym, you're probably going to be doing Pilates on the mat, which means that you're just using your own body to do various exercises to open up the hips, to strengthen your back, to strengthen your legs, to strengthen your arms. And you might have some fun things like balls and bands and things like that to play with. So that would be, generally speaking, what Pilates is.
Okay. So you... how do you do, if you do that on a mat with balls and bands, how exactly do you translate that into equestrian Pilates, which, by the way, I think is awesome and exciting, and I can't wait to hear about it.
I think it's awesome and exciting, too, and the whole premise is that horse and rider mirror one another. So if you have a crooked rider, you get a crooked horse most of the time. So how I translate it is that we spend a lot of the class looking at imbalances in our body. So if we, for example, lean into our right hip too much, what would that do when you're at the posting trot? Or if I grip with my left hand, what would that do if I'm trying to go over a fence? Or if I leaned too far forward because my chest is too tight and not open enough, how is that going to affect my posture? And so basically what I've done is I've taken all of the exercises and looked at how each one applies to improving the horse's balance, strength, and flexibility while riding, and help people increase their awareness off the horse so when they get on the horse, they're in a better position to make their horse move the way that they want him or her to move. So that's generally speaking how we apply it. And then it has all these great effects, like, for example, core strength. The stronger your core is, then the more able you are to sit still in the saddle and not bounce around on the horse's back. Or
right.
Another big principle with Pilates is keep one part still and move another part. So how can I keep my whole body still and just change my leg position to cue the canter, things like that. So all of it's very applicable. You just have to be a little bit creative to think about how each little exercise translates into something else you do while you're riding.
So is it a series of exercises? I mean, I know you trouble spot and, like, say my horse canters crooked to the right and he kicks his hips in. Obviously, that's something that I'm doing. Are there some exercises, like general exercises that people can do on the ground or with their horse? Because combining the two of those things would really help out a lot of equestrians, because when you have horses, you don't have time to go to the gym. And definitely some parts of our bodies get a little bit softer. So what are some exercises that just anybody with any problem in the world can do on their horse?
Well, a few of the really easy ones are ones just lying on your back on the floor. And one of them is called spinal bridging, for example. And so you would lie on your back with your knees bent and your arms down by your side, and you would just gently rock your pelvis back and forth from a flat back to an arched back. And then eventually with the bridge, what you do is you keep rocking your back until you lift your bottom completely up in the air, and then you roll down one vertebra at a time all the way back down onto the mat. And what that does is that opens up the lower back and makes your lower back more supple and more flexible. And then that, of course, has great benefit to when you're riding, because you want to have a strong back but a supple one so that you can move with your horse's motion when you're cantering or trotting or even walking or anything like that. And the other great thing any rider can do any second to improve their riding so much is just to do some traditional hamstring stretches. So the hamstring is the back of your leg. So if you put your leg up on a fence, for example, and lean forward – and stretch the back of that leg, you're going to open up the back of your leg and keep your legs nice and strong and supple when you ride as well. So those, I would say, would be two of the most important things you could do right off the bat.
Just listening to you describe the back stretch made me kind of cat stretch here in my chair.
Yeah,
that sounds
exactly.
Like it would feel really good.
Every time people talk to me, they sit up taller.
Yeah, I you know what? That's funny. I'm actually doing that right now. Glenn is actually on his yoga ball right now. He broadcasts from a ball.
I sit on my ball when I broadcast. It keeps me a little more alert and awake, and I don't feel like I'm getting sleepy talking to Jamie in the morning. You know, it just works.
Now, what you can do is you can sit on your ball and then just do the same thing you did while you were lying on your back for the bridging. Just sit up really tall and then just rock your pelvis back and forth while you pull your navel in towards your spine, and that's going to open up your lower back and open up your hip joints as well. So you can practice that while you're on the radio.
Oh, I can practice that while I'm on the radio. That's good. I try very hard just not to fall off the ball while I'm on the radio. And now you have me working out.
Yeah, exactly. The key is to sneak the exercises in all the time.
Have you ever seen Frankie Lovato's Equisizer?
I've seen pictures of it, but I've never had a chance to use it myself.
Wouldn't that be a cool thing to incorporate into your classes that you can really see how people sit and then work on that, you know, on the ground? It would be a really cool way to incorporate it into your classes, I think.
Yeah, it would be very, very cool.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to say, this has taken off, hasn't it? This is really, I hear about it more and more, you know, with the dressage riders and even jumpers and eventers. I'm just hearing about it all over the place as Pilates.
Yeah, and I think because people who ride are finally realizing two things. One, they're athletes just like their horse. Like, I think there was kind of this silly idea that the horse is doing all the work kind of in the back of our brains, and we realize that, oh my gosh, we have to be athletes too. And then the other thing is, I mean, I work with clients who are also non-riders, and horseback riders are among the most broken people I deal with all day long. And so we need to, as riders, I mean, more riders have lower back issues, have hip problems, shoulder problems, and it's mainly because in general, don't take care of themselves as well. And they think riding is enough exercise, and if you just ride, you're going to be in shape. But the reality is, over time, it can have a negative impact on your body if you don't do things to alleviate and counterbalance all of the work you're doing.
Yeah. How many women just were listening to that and said, oh, hip problems, check. You know, shoulder,
me.
Yup.
Me.
And they're all from falls. And what we don't do is we don't take care of the rest of our body. You know, my inner thighs are ridiculously strong. Awesome. That's attractive, right? Big muscles on your inner thighs. But the rest of our body is great. Like, the core workouts is really what we need to focus and to keep strong all around. The barrier that I had in Lexington, spent more time at the gym than he did shoeing horses. And the man was able to shoe 20 horses a day and not even, you know, be sore afterwards because he worked out so hard and kept himself so strong. So do you recommend this for, you know, everybody in the horse world?
I think I recommend it for everybody in the horse world. And it's awesome that your farrier recognized that, because I've heard that farriers are kind of done with their lower backs after, you know, 3 to 5 years. And I mean, what it boils down to is that anytime you have a sport, you're using some muscles more than you're using other muscles. And so if you don't do another activity like Pilates or yoga or weightlifting or whatever your favorite thing is, then you're not doing anything to counterbalance all of the activities you're using with those particular muscles. So it basically boils down to cross-training. Like, you wouldn't see a professional basketball player who didn't do cardiovascular exercises and weight training, or a football player or a soccer player. And so all these other sports have been doing this for years, and they realize that this is how they keep their bodies in peak performance and in comfort. So, yes, absolutely. Everybody should do it.
Well, let's see. How can people learn more about this? You know, do you have books or videos, or do you come to people? How does this work?
Well, I have my website, which is equestrianpilates.com. And if you go to my blog tab, I like to give a lot of free information away. So there are probably about 20 various articles up there with sample exercises. So you can go to my website and you can just try the sample exercises that are there. I have e-books up there as well that have an entire program that you can do at home on your own. So if you want to just, you know, get the e-book and learn about 30 different exercises that you can do on your own, that would be great. If you live near Camarillo, California, where I live, then I do private one-on-one training. And then I also travel nationally to do clinics as well. So if you live somewhere else and you want me to come see you in your barn, I'm happy to do that as well. And, and we also have a Facebook page as well. So you can check it out on all those different avenues.
Oh, I just thought of a question, Elizabeth. Now that the conversation's almost done. Are all of your exercises designed to be done without the horse, or do you have stuff that you do on the horse and off the horse?
I would say 90% of it is off the horse, because my general philosophy is that when you're on your horse, you need to be really paying attention to your horse and not driving them bonkers. And so when you're dealing with things like working on your own balance and your own strength, your flexibility, it's most appropriate off of the horse. And that way you can work on your strength and you can move in different ways and not have to worry about sitting on top of a, 900 to 1600 pound animal and moving around all different ways to drive them crazy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I do have an on-the-horse evaluation where I come and I watch people ride and I say, okay, you learned how to do XYZ on the floor in this exercise. Now let's apply that same principle to what you're doing at the seated trot. And people can then correlate the two together.
Oh, so you have a – because that's what I was curious about, the connection of connecting the exercises that you're using without the horse to sitting on the horse.
Yeah.
So it's more of a – it's not literally taking the exact same exercise and doing it. It's the application process.
Right, it's the application process. But at the same time, there's an exercise, for example, called single leg circle, where you lie on the mat with one leg up in the air and you just make little tiny circles with your leg. And if you're going outward with your circles, then that's really not much different than a canter cue at the hip socket at the seat. So, sometimes people take riding lessons and they're with this awesome trainer who just naturally knows how to do everything. But when it comes to trying to do it themselves, they don't really understand how to make it happen. And so sometimes if you can just mimic those movements off of the horse, then all of a sudden you get on the horse, you're like, oh, my God, it's the same thing. Why have I been struggling with that for, 5 days, 1 year, 4 years, 10 years, or whatever?
Cool.
Yeah, so it's all fun.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now, and you've got lots of testimonials. You got a blog, products that people can find, and a really good deal going on the books right now. I believe that, you said usually it's $50, but for all three ebooks, you can download them 2 seconds and only $25. So, the price of a 1 month of gym membership, you've got your equestrian Pilates to help you out. So I definitely, first of all, working out and maintaining strength is important to everybody in the world, not to mention equestrians. So this is a great thing. You can ride better, ride healthier, I believe is your tagline there. So thank you so much for being a part of the show. Anything else that we missed that you want to tell people?
I just think, it just boils down to having more fun on your horse. And when you get in shape and you ride better, then everything becomes magical, it becomes exciting, and it becomes exactly what you want. And why not get that all the time and just have fun every time you go out to the barn? So I'd like to help that be possible for everybody.
Elizabeth, I have a question.
Okay.
For the back of the class, sitting on my ball. Does eating qualify as exercise?
I wish it did, because it's one of my favorite things on the planet to do, but I have to say no.
I thought I was exercising a lot.
I know, but in regards to horse people, I know horse people that feed their horses better than they feed themselves, and if you feed yourself a little bit better, that also helps your health and your ride as well. So,
see, the problem, Elizabeth, is I like to cook, and the other problem is I like to eat what I cook, and that's a big problem, and I agree that most horse people, if they're anything like my wife, if it wasn't for me being around, she's the horse person.
Yeah.
she would be eating out of a can, or she would be eating fast food every night. She would definitely not be eating well. And I think that's true of most horse girls, because they don't cook, both of them, as a general rule, and probably don't eat very well. And I'm sure that's what you find.
Yeah, I find that too. In fact, I do a newsletter every 1 to 2 months, depending on if I have anything interesting to say. I started putting a healthy recipe in there, just because I try to make them be things that you can make in 5 minutes or less, unless it's stir it up and bake it for 15 minutes or something like that. But I'm trying to put things in there that people can make quickly and take to horse shows. Like I did one like a energy bar, which was completely homemade with like oatmeal and dried nuts and dried fruit, and you just mix it together with some eggs, put it in the oven for like 15 minutes, and then you've got this healthy fruit bar to take with you to your horse show, things like that. So
okay.
I am now entering that world into trying to help people make better food choices too.
The problem is, Elizabeth, I subscribe to the Paula Deen School of Cooking. You know, butter and more butter. You know, that's my problem. Is I really like southern food, and sitting on a ball all day doesn't help. You know, that doesn't help me eat right. But you're absolutely right. It's one of the things that I think riders, because we talk to a lot of the professional riders here in the Horse Radio Network all the time. It's one of the things that they're definitely becoming more conscientious of, is what they eat and how much exercise they get off the horse, more than 5 years ago, let's say. It's become a huge thing.
Yeah, it has. And in fact, I actually certify teachers in my method. And if you go to my instructors tab, there's a teacher down at the bottom. Her name is Kirsten Hill, and she's in the process of becoming a certified nutritionist. And what she wants to do is to take equestrian plies a little bit farther and combine nutrition consulting with her Pilates practice, because she wants to meet that need. And I think that it's really, really important. And, you know, it sounds so cliche, but we are what we eat. You know, we wouldn't feed our horses crap and expect them to perform well at a jumping show. So why would we expect that of ourselves? But it's like taking it all to a new different level and making sure we take care of both part of the equation, the horse and the rider.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Well, I think it's important. Yeah, I agree too. And I hope everybody checks out equestrianpilates.com. It's equestrian, and then Pilates is spelled PILATES.com. Check it out. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on with us. We really appreciate you spreading the word and getting people fit and healthy horseback style. I love it.
Well, thanks, and I'm so excited to talk to you guys, too, and I think you have a great show, and I had lots of fun, so have more fun in the future. It's always great to hear about horse stuff.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Well,
thank you.
I'm bouncing on my ball.
Yes, bounce and rock and do fun things.
Yeah, you got to start rocking, Glenn. Start rocking.
You know what? She just made me feel extremely guilty is what. It's a Monday morning, and now I'm feeling all low and guilty about everything I ate all weekend.
Well, that's what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to make you feel better about working out, make you feel bad about yourself, break you down to build you back up. Isn't that what the other clinician says? You got to break you down to build you back up. The right way.
All right,
way.
Now I'm going to make a vow, all right? You have to ask me about this tomorrow morning on the show. Because public ridicule is more effective than private ridicule. So tomorrow morning on the show, you have to ask me, did you go work out this morning? Because I was really good last winter about getting up at 4 o'clock like I do every morning and going to working out. And the nice thing about going to the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning, first of all, I have no excuse. It's a mile down the road. And the second thing is there's nobody there. So it's like, beautiful. You have the whole place yourself. You know, you don't have anything to worry about. So tomorrow morning, you ask me on the show if I went and worked out.
Okay, and the other thing you have to keep reminding me about is I've actually been in contact with my friend who does the sweaty, hot, disgusting yoga, and we are planning on going to a class this week.
All right, good. Well, I want to hear about the sweaty, disgusting, hot yoga. I want to know the gory details about that because I think that's fascinating for some reason. I'm sure Pilates can be somewhat sweaty and disgusting, too, when you think about it. pretty much
they
all
sound
working out.
Very here. Similar. Yeah, they sound very similar. So, well, we're both going to work out better. We're going to eat better, Glenn. We're going to get in shape here, you know, because, well, honestly, because I put 5 pounds on since my wedding. I went to the doctor last week and I weighed 5 pounds more than I did at my wedding, which was only, you know, as we know, not that long ago. So I'm packing it on as a married woman, and it's got to stop right now. And I'm going to go do sweaty yoga. What you need to do is you need to get your dog and take it on long walks and runs in the morning, Glenn. See, another thing, is get your wife, so let's get a dog.
And Pocket Stable is going to be so proud to have sponsored the next segment right after talking about sweaty things. The song today is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, from vaccines to wormings to farrier to dentist visits. You keep that all together right in your iPhone, and it's easily accessible anytime. You carry your iPhone with you to barn, so it's always with you. You can track your horse's weight, and you can get reminders of all those important events coming up, and never forget when you did that farrier the last, when you wormed last. It's all right there on your iPhone, and it's only $3.99. The cost less than the cost of a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and that's pocketstable.com. The next song is for you, Jamie. This is what, now we had the puppy song at the beginning. That was all the gushy, you know, gooey puppy stuff. Well, now this is what's going to happen after the puppies come home tomorrow.
Today by Omega Alpha, and yeah, it's going to be a mess here in a couple hours. We are doing the official countdown on the day. This is like a national holiday in this house. You know, obviously it's MLK Day. You know, everybody has the day off. Chad has the day off. He's dinkering around outside, and You know, then it's Zenyatta Day. Hello, Horse of the Year announced today. And we get our puppies today. So we have to go to the airport at 6:30 and pick up the pups as they get off their airplane. So I'm so excited. It's just going to be a good day. It just can't not be a good day.
You're not going to get any sleep tonight either, because you guys are going to be up playing with the puppies, and then the puppies will be up playing with you, and then that'll go on all night long. So I expect it to be a very tired Jamie Jennings on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I will be a mess, Glenn. I will be a mess. And as long as you understand, you know, we're going to get a lot of mileage out of playing with these puppies on the air because – everybody's going to remember because of my stories what it's like to have a puppy, and then nobody's going to want to get a puppy ever again because it's going to be a lot of work. And I will definitely keep you posted along the way with all the pictures and with all of the complaints that I have. But I do want to let you know that I did cave, and we got a crate. So we're going to be crate training the puppy at night.
You should. I mean, that's smart move there, girl. Smart move.
Thank you.
That's
thank
smart
you.
Of course, having a greyhound, where, you know, that's where we really learned, you know, how important crate training was, because with greyhounds, they're used to living in the crate. So it became a real tool for us to use. Hey, before we get to our next guest, Jamie, which is we're going to be talking about Caspian horses, which I know nothing about other than I love ponies. You know how I love ponies and draft horses. Well, mm-hmm. You know, these Caspian horses are the size of little ponies, so we're going to learn a lot about those and how prevalent they are and things, and we're going to be talking to Dick Kearney here very shortly about that. But I first wanted to give you a Facebook update. Of course, you can follow everything going on Facebook. I posted some pictures up there for Jamie this morning. And so on Facebook, Robert Dunn has had several postings. He listens on Mondays because he is not working on Mondays. And he posted, I think it's hilarious that Jennifer says she doesn't like to be on the air. She is freaking awesome and entertaining to listen to. I agree. Let's all clap for Jennifer. I think she's freaking awesome to listen to, too. So,
Yeah. So
that was from Robert. Jennifer has a big fan there. And also, slams you a little bit and says, Jamie, was Chad wearing a helmet on the trail ride? There's a little slam for you.
That's not a slam. He was asking a question.
And slamming you at the same time because...
The answer is, of course, absolutely, without a doubt. I had my helmet on.
And then he also says, what's the friend goal for this week on Facebook? You are already over 1,200. We gained another 100. It's unbelievable how fast it's been growing. And I want to issue a throwdown right now to the Western radio show and to the Dressage radio show, because in another 125, we're going to be passing the top show on the Horse Radio Network, and that's the Western radio show. So I predict by the end of this week, beginning of next, we're going to be passing and we'll become the number one show for followers on the Horse Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. And you know all the trash talk that has gone on with Chris and the Dressage show and the Western show. We have to beat them. We have to beat them. So tell, you know, 100 friends, please. We have to beat them. It is just, it's a personal goal. And as much trash talk as they've done, and we've had to listen to, I want to take it to the next level. I want to win.
And, you know, we've been very quiet about it up to this point. We haven't been trash talking them at all. But I'll tell you what, the minute we go over Dressage, we're calling Chris. And the minute we go over Western, we're calling Alan and Tandy, and we're going to get – Candy never gets up till later in the morning, so we're going to call her and get her out of bed. We're going to do both of those things the minute we go over. That day we go over, we're calling them up. So that's our vow. So help us get over that 1350 mark, and that'll put us on top for the Horse Radio Network. And we've done it quietly and swiftly, I might add. So we're very proud.
Yes, we have.
Thank you. Thank you to all our followers there on Facebook and to everybody that listens to the show. Well, speaking about Facebook, Curtis from Facebook, who I believe lives in Florida and is the Pony Club dad, mentioned to us that he would like to learn more about Caspian horses. And I got to admit, I know very little about Caspian horses, even though the Caspian is thought to be one of the oldest horse and pony breeds in the world today. And they're very rare, and that's why we wanted to get Dick Kearley on to talk about Caspian horses. Hi, Dick, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn, how are you doing today? Sound great.
We're doing great. We just, you know, Caspian horses are fascinating. When I was doing my pre-show research here, first of all, I didn't realize Caspian horses were pony-sized. That's the first big thing about a Caspian horse is they're really pony-sized.
That's right, but it's so important to realize that they are truly a horse rather than a pony. I mean, they will run from 10 and a half to maybe 13 hands. Those are extremes. Most of them are right around 12 hands. But if you mentioned that how much you like ponies, and tell me, where do ponies originate from if we go back to sort of prehistory?
Yeah, Glenn.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, actually.
They come generally from the British Isles, kind of a cold, wet climate. All right. Now, the Caspian horse comes from the Middle East. He comes from, what is now Iran. So he's from a totally different gene pool. He's totally different part of the world, totally different climate, and so forth. So he is arguably, these are sort of almost impossible things to prove, but both the archaeological, the bones records, the from the archaeological digs, and from DNA markers, it's awfully, awfully strong evidence that the Caspian horse predates and is the ancestor to the Arabian. So you have more of an Arabian character to them rather than your ponies who came from a totally different part of the world and totally different environment.
What were they used for back then? Did they ride them? They were awful small to ride. I assume they drove them, or what were they used for?
Well, that's kind of the... Usually that question comes with a slightly different slant to it, and people say, well, what are they used for? And my answer quickly is, well, if you're thought to be extinct for 2,000 years, you're not used for anything if you're extinct, right? But to answer your question, when they were not extinct or not, they were valued by the ancient Persians. King Darius the Great, ruler of ancient Persia, certainly valued these animals. He carved them, or had them carved, into the grand staircase of his palace, and that staircase still exists today. You can still see those stone carvings if you could go to Iran. I wouldn't go there, but anyway. he also had a royal seal, which I guess was like his signature. This was a gold cylinder, which I guess he would roll it across a clay tablet, and that would make his official signature on the clay tablet. And that exists today in the British Museum in London, and it has been unrolled, so it's not a cylinder anymore. It's a flat thing now, and that has embossed into the gold the picture of the king on a chariot shooting at a lion, and the chariot is... drawn by two horses that are smaller than the lion. And this thing is well made, it's quite clear. They have the Caspian characteristics. So that's the long answer to a short question. They were used to pull chariots in ancient Persia.
Wow.
And then after
the
Persians went up and tried to conquer the world, and they went up and eventually they made the Greeks angry enough that the Greeks came back down and pounded them back to the Stone Age. And when they got pounded back to the Stone Age, the Persian culture and the Caspian horses along with it was lost to recorded history for some 2,000 years. So that's why we say they weren't used for anything, or they aren't.
But now, okay, so what I don't get is, okay, you say they were lost for 2,000 years. How do we all of a sudden find them again?
Well, there was an American woman, Louise Farrouse, met an Iranian of probably royal blood when they went to college here in the States. This fella came over here to go to university, and the two of them met at university and fell in love and got married and moved back to Iran. And Louise Farrouse was an avid horsewoman, and as things will go, they had children, and she wanted... riding horses or ponies. She wanted ponies for her children, and they didn't have any ponies there in Iran. But doing the tourist thing, she visited this palace that I mentioned before and saw the horses carved on the grand staircase, and she asked her guide, what about that little horse right there in that carving? And she was told that, well, we think it's extinct, but if it should exist, it would be in the Arbuz Mountains above the Caspian Sea. So Louise Farraus and her friend Joan Taplin from Bermuda put together, and this is unbelievable, that two foreign women could put together this thing in Iran. They put together a little expedition. They had bodyguards and they had jeeps, and they went up into the mountains horse hunting. And they went as far as they could go with the jeeps, and when they couldn't go any further, they rented some horses and pushed on deeper and deeper. And after about 2 weeks, they were about to give up, and in a really remote little village around the corner came a stallion pulling a two-wheel cart loaded with whatever, market goods. A huge load with a tiny little stallion, zippity-zip-zip, around the corner he comes, and they went, aha, there he is. And they bought that horse and on the spot, and it kind of went from there. Eventually, over the course of the next 10 or 15 years, Louise found approximately 50 animals that fit the description. Now, the amazing thing is that these animals were scattered. She never found them in any particular herd, never found them in any particular town. They were truly scattered. You might find two or three, but not groups, really. Now, she had a mental picture of what these horses, what the characteristics of these horses were, so she was pretty selective in what she took. But nonetheless, they have a tremendous genetic prepotency. It's just amazing to me that these animals could be that scattered, and yet when you bring them together and you breed them, they breed true.
Well, and you know, this is an amazing story when you think about it, and especially, you know, you're absolutely right. You have women, traveling into Iran to find horses that, the Iranian people weren't even sure still existed. So that is an amazing story. And the couple things that I read about the Caspian horse that makes them so hardy is, one, is their feet. Tell us about their feet.
Well, of course, they're small. If you think about an Arabian horse and kind of downsize it, Arabians have relatively small, hard hooves. Again, if you look at the environment, we come back to the prehistoric. This is one of the beauties of the Caspian horse, that we humans have not been tinkering around with the Caspian horse. You can pretty much go back 2,000 or 3,000 years ago and say, well, you know, nature made this horse this way, and nobody has tinkered around with it since then, unlike the ponies.
Right.
The ponies originally were designed to conserve energy in that colder, wetter climate. They had thick, woolly fur. They had a relatively heavy, dense sort of body. And they had relatively larger feet because some of them were on sort of marshy grounds. So you had a totally different thing going on in the pony. The Caspian tends to be on dry, rocky ground, more arid environment for the most part. So we haven't tinkered around with that, but that arid, rockier, open environment led him, I think, we're all, you know, who knows what, but how evolution works. But anyway, the hooves are very hard and relatively small.
Do they need shoeing, or don't you bother being that hard?
I have never seen shoes on a Caspian. I think
there
may be some instances in England where they put some shoes on them, but I've not heard of one in the United States ever having shoes.
Go ahead, Jane.
You guys are like two horse husbands just going wild over here. This is unbelievably historically educating and interesting. What I want to know is, how many Caspian horses are there now in the U.S.?
Approximately 600. We have some issues right now that, when they first came over here, the first ones came in the 90s. and you know, the population exploded fairly quickly. It was kind of like, you know how it goes with the ostriches and the emus and the, now it's the alpacas and all these other kind of novelty animals. I think there was a novelty boom in Caspians. People wanted to be the first on their block to have a Caspian kind of thing. And so the population blew up fairly quickly to around 500. And then horses have to have a job. If they don't have an application, the novelty factor only carries you so far. So we're in that plateau now where the Caspian has to prove his worth and his value for some reason other than a novelty.
Gotcha.
And that's a very challenging place to be, because while we have about 600 horses registered in the United States now, what we really need to put a horse breed on the map, so to speak, is you need a bunch of nice sort of middle-aged geldings, the real worker bees of the thing, you know? And yet you had a rare breed. Everybody was sure they were going to make $1 million by breeding this novelty horse. So initially nobody wanted to geld anything. There were no geldings. So it's only in relatively last, like maybe the last 5 years or so, that we started to get people saying, whoa, we don't need to just breed everything. Let's get some geldings. And those geldings are not yet old enough to be seasoned worker bees.
It's a work in progress. It's definitely a work in progress.
We definitely have a challenge to get these horses out and working and visible to people. Now, I've mentioned several times that they sort of predated the Arab, and they might be the ancestor of the Arab, and there's certain Arab characteristics to them, and that they are very, very active animals. They are quick. They're very high energy, got tremendous endurance, and unfortunately, maybe we say unfortunately, this means that they are a good child's second pony. First child's pony, nah, you put the kid on them, and the thing is, it's like putting the kid into the Ferrari, you know?
Yeah, you don't put the kid in
the Ferrari, you know?
I owned a Hackney pony, and that was the same way. It was like driving a Ferrari, and it was amazing to drive. Now, I've always had a goal, and see, I think I can combine goals here. First of all, do you own any Caspian?
Oh yeah. I own about 15 now. I have sold off a few, but I have right on the farm right now. I think I have 12 or 15.
Okay. So, and do you drive them? Is that what you do?
Yes. This is Caspian.
Okay. Good. And where do you live?
In Florida.
Okay, good. We were just in Florida, darn it. Okay, so now my goal has always been, I always have wanted to drive a chariot. I want to drive a Caspian in a chariot. That's my goal.
We can do it.
Yeah?
Because the story that I told you about King Darius and the chariot and the lion hunt, people say it to me all the time, what is the Caspian used for? And my answer is, well, he was thought to be extinct, so he wasn't used for much of anything. But in the old days, he was used to pull a chariot. So to illustrate that story, I've kind of made it a mission to try to get these Caspians out into the public eye. And to illustrate that history, we built the chariot. I mean, it is a good one. My welder says you could hit this thing with a truck and it still wouldn't fall apart. It's a good one. And
that won't stop me from falling off the back. Does it have a seatbelt?
Nope. We tipped it over one time with them in early days of testing.
Okay.
We ran them and turned them quick and see if it would go over, and sure enough, it will.
No. So all I have to do is come to Florida, and I can drive a couple of Caspian ponies, or horses, rather, a couple of Caspian horses in a chariot.
Yeah, yeah. And now what we got to make it even more interesting is we have a lion. We can go lion.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Yeah. we have an act in which we have a lion who's of course a person in a like a school mascot lion costume, lion suit.
Oh, okay.
with a big fuzzy head and all that. Anyway, we stage a lion hunt in the arena. We bring the horses in the chariot. The driver has a Persian garb and all that, and he drives around, and the announcer tells all about Caspian horses and how wonderful they are, and aren't they beautiful, and look what they look like on a chariot. And don't we wish we had some lions that we could still go hunting after? And, of course, we don't have any lions anymore, you know, and it's too bad. But meanwhile, the lion is roaming around where the audience can see him. And he's, like, waving to the kids and whatever, you know. So the audience knows we have a lion. And the lion, at the right moment, comes shooting into the arena on a mini bike. And he is thumbing his nose at the Caspians, and the announcer is screaming, there's a lion after him. And let me tell you, these Caspian horses turn on like a light switch. They are slinging dirt as hard as they can go. They are after that guy. which is interesting, because generally you wouldn't even get a horse to go near this thing with big googly eyes and the motor running, you know, and all that. But these guys are on him. They want him. And we charge around the arena, and we eventually, the motor scooter fails, and the lion jumps off and tries to run away on foot. The Caspians circle around him until they get within striking distance with a spear. We got a spear with a rubber tip, and we are menacing the lion with the rubber spear. And at the last minute, the lion goes down on one knee, and he pulls the white flag out of his sleeve and surrenders. And the Caspians stop. One time they stopped with their wheel of the chariot, pinning my lion's costume to the ground. I was the lion that day. I was trapped under the chariot wheel. But anyway, we get right in close, and then the finale is the lion has surrendered. Everybody's friends. He pets the Caspians, and the charioteer gives him a ride out of the arena on the back of the chariot.
Great.
You could not do this act with another breed, I swear, unless you spent weeks and weeks and weeks practicing. The Caspians are brave.
I got to jump in here, because I will tell you right now, I will be there in about – but however long it takes me to get to Florida, if you can promise me Russell Crowe on the back of that chariot with the Caspian horse.
Well, there's a lot of remarks about where's the toga and that sort of thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
I'll add to my pledge. If I get to drive the chariot with the Caspian horses, I will wear a toga.
Well, I've never met you, so I don't know how exciting that would be.
Yeah, not very. I'll be the lion when that happens, okay? So I kind of was envisioning Russell Crowe, but Glenn, if you want to jump up there, that's fine too, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have the same sex appeal, that's for sure. Now, this is absolutely terrific. Wait, do you have a picture of your chariot that you could send us right after you're done here on the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, send a picture over to Jennifer. We would love to see a picture of that. And where can people find out? Do you have a website where they can find you and see pictures and things?
Sure. My website is www.dimar, for Dick and Mary, D-I-M-A-R, Caspians, plural, .com.
All right, so that's Caspians. Let's do it again.
Dimar Caspians.
Dimar Caspians. Okay. .com. All right, that's great. Well, this has been so informative. You've probably been one of the best breed persons we've had on here to explain the history. And they have such a cool history. It's so cool. And I have a place to go drive a chariot now. Jennifer, we're going to Florida tomorrow. Just thought I'd let you know.
Y'all pack that.
Yeah, we'll be leaving after the show. We'll be going to Florida, and we'll be driving some Caspian horses.
I'm serious about that. We're going to be visiting you.
Okay.
Maybe not tomorrow.
Okay.
But, all right, good. Yeah,
well,
that's been a lifelong dream of mine. We're definitely going to do that. Well, thank you so much, Dick, for joining us. We really appreciate it. I wanted to say Trish Ray on Facebook said, love those Caspians. My 10-year-old has had the opportunity to ride them for dressage and games, and they are the best little horses on earth. So there's a fan right there.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So thank you, Dick. We appreciate it.
Just got to get some people using them.
All right, good. Well, let's hope we can get the word out a little bit about them, and hopefully you have some inquiries about them.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dick. Have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was Caspian horses. That sounds so cool. I want to drive his chariot so bad. I don't care if I even wear a toga. That's fine. But I really do want to drive a chariot. Don't you think that would be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome. I'm not as big a fan of driving as you are. I think if I'm going to be that close to a horse, might as well just hop on. But I understand that.
With your stature, you could probably ride these horses.
I tried to ride my Hackney pony the other day, and that didn't go so well. So I think it's the extra 5 pounds I've put on since the wedding.
Oh, that's what it is. But now that we're both going to be working out and fit, and you're going to be doing sweaty yoga, and I'm going to be going to the gym, you'll be able to ride that. You'll be able to ride that pony with no problem at all.
Yeah, he doesn't think so. He's not amused.
Well, we have so many places to go. We got to come out and visit you guys. We got to ride in the desert. We have to go to Florida so I can drive Caspian horses in a chariot. I mean, and track lions. How cool is that? I mean, we got so many things to do. It's just not enough time and not enough money.
Well, yeah, that's true. But what we need to do is we really just need to get through today because, you know, just to reiterate, it is a huge holiday. I'm wearing, you know, a black armband in honor of Zenyatta. It's you know, going for the horse of the year tonight. We're picking up puppies tonight. It's just a holiday here. We're celebrating. We've got the lights up, the everything, you know. We got a Zenyatta tree with briars. We are so excited for Zenyatta, the horse of the what's the article? The New York Times put Zenyatta on the front page, Glenn, and it's a horse of the ages should be horse of the year. Do you agree?
I agree. I absolutely agree. And, of course, all of us agree. And we know that 99.9% of our listeners agree, too. And we hope that they join us. I'm going to remind you again, join us tomorrow morning. We're having a big Zenyatta show. We have Frankie Lovato. We have, I'm looking up the name of the other guest we have here. Give me a second and I'll have it for you. We have another guest that's been set up by HR.
Richard Migliori, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong.
And, you know, I looked him up. He is a jockey's jockey. He's won almost 5,000 races. So he knows a little bit about riding horses successfully, and he's going to be on with us tomorrow. We would love to have a bunch of callers tomorrow. We have a giveaway tomorrow. It is like a holiday here on the show tomorrow as well. So we also have Angela from Horse Girl TV is going to be joining us for a little bit. So, you know, we want you to join us. We want you to call in. We want to know your feelings about the Eclipse Awards, whether she won or didn't win. We just want to talk to you. We want to share any excitement with you. So we're going to have some prizes to give away. And we're just so excited. You know, Jamie's talking like today's a holiday. Well, tomorrow we're continuing the holiday here on Horses in the Morning. It's going to be so much fun. I think, you know, for you and I both and for Jennifer, too, some of our favorite shows that we've done in the last 2 months have been the Zenyatta episodes. They just seem to have an energy about them.
Yeah, they do. And people love anything Zenyatta. I wanted to just read a piece of this article here. And this article that was in the New York Times is just pushing for her to be Horse of the Year. And it says, she put the sport back on national television with a 60-minute segment, articles in W and Oprah magazines. She's approaching 60,000 Facebook fans. And for the second year in a row, she finished second in the voting for the AP Female Athlete of the Year. And if all that stuff, ask anybody who blame is. And, you know, one out of 1,000 people maybe could tell you that he's the one that beat her by a nose. But you know what? Everybody knows who Zenyatta is. If she's not Horse of the Year, I don't know what's going to happen. But we definitely want to hear your calls tomorrow. right here, 347-637-3238. Whether it's good news or bad news, you just never can predict sports writers and that kind of stuff. So we will definitely be celebrating the Zenyatta no matter what here on tomorrow's show.
All right, everybody, be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. You can find them all at horseradionetwork.com. Chris had a bunch of good ones last week. And
yeah,
we, of course, had Tammy Hoag on the Stable Scoop show last week, which was very fun. And I know that a lot of our listeners really enjoyed hearing from her. So that was cool. And you can also follow us on Twitter. We are at Horse Radio.
Absolutely. Sorry, I got caught napping. I was looking at pictures of the puppies that are coming in tonight. So it'll be puppy day tomorrow as well. We'll talk Zenyatta and we'll talk puppies. If you missed a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss any episodes. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Zenyatta and puppies. It's going to be awesome. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
This is for you, Jamie.
I could have a puppy. I'd call myself so very lucky just to have some company to share a cup of tea.
Bounce
with
on the
me
ball.
I'd take my puppy everywhere.
I will too.
La 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 la.
Oh, it goes something like this. It goes, ooh, snuggle puppy of mine. Everything about you is especially fine. I love what you are. I love what you do. Fuzzy little snuggle puppy, I love you. I say, ooh, snuggle puppy of mine.
Every- I am just a puppy and I'm scared to death. I am just a puppy.